you can build your list about what Jesus did. And you're like, and so you can sit here and go, yeah, but there is no yeah, but here. He tells us we're going to do great things. He tells us in the Gospel of Mark, he says, these signs will follow those who believe, right? It says, in my name, they'll cast out demons.
Yeah.
They'll speak with new tongues. They'll take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it won't hurt them.
Mm-hmm.
They'll lay hands on the sick, and they will recover.
Yeah.
So Jesus did those things, and that's what he's given us
right.
to do. And the thing about, you know, and I had you pray for each other that, you know, release, just touch him with heaven, right? We use this phrase about heaven touching earth,
mm-hmm.
and you realize you're plan A.
Right.
And there is no plan B.
Right.
Right.
You were his design.
Yep, from the beginning.
For bringing heaven to earth.
Yep.
So for the release of solutions into conflicts like Ruth or your family or other, right? It's you. You're the one that's releasing heaven. And Jesus, so if you want to know how did Jesus do that? Right? I would tell you this, and we've talked about the kingdoms, right? There's the king. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is what?
At hand.
It's here, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a king, and the fullness of the kingdom
mm-hmm.
is here.
Mm-hmm.
It's in conflict with this earthly kingdom, isn't it?
Right.
This earthly kingdom denies all those things that Jesus said would happen. It says, no, they won't. Sickness is here to stay, and I'll make sure of it. And sickness, death, destruction, that's the enemy. The enemy's modus operandi for his kingdom. Jesus says, no, this kingdom is here. And this is what he released in that kingdom, right? So Jesus knew these two things. He knew who he was
right.
as a son. He knew who he was before the Father, right? He lived in that awareness and that reality, right? This kingdom reality. He lived in him. That's what he tells us in John. We read that scripture last week, didn't we? Where Jesus says, oh, that you would know.
Right, right.
This same relationship that I have with the Father, you have. Okay? That's what we read. And so Jesus fully embraced that reality of the kingdom. It's here. And I'm in it, and I'm in him, right? Here's a second reason. The Father authorized him to release it.
Right.
To go do signs and wonders, to go do miracles, to go be powerful. Here's the cool thing. He's authorized you. He has fully, 100% authorized you. So if you're wondering, when do I see miracles? When do I see the dead rising? When do I see the lame walk? Right? One, we find your security in the reality of that kingdom. And two, realize, come to terms, you've been authorized to live from kingdom, to live from that place. And so we talked last week about this separation, this gap that exists, right? We come to this awareness. Your eyes wake up. All of a sudden, you're like, oh, this is what he says about me. And we use words of, in the Bible, it's described as being born again.
Yeah.
It's our salvation, right? Where the blinders are lifted off our eyes, right? Sin is taken, that sin which blinds us is taken away. And what do we begin to see? We begin to see our likeness in him. We begin to see him in us. We begin to start waking up to the reality of he's in me and I'm in him, just like Jesus said, right? And so, you know, that there's where is it in scripture? It talks about we see in a mirror dimly, and then about, is it Hebrew, James? Oh, that's right. About we move from glory to glory.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that's about a verse about closing the gap between this revelation of our identity, right? Who we are, and then our experience where we are, right? It's like experiencing miracles that we're learning to close the gap between those two things. So we're learning to live in heaven's reality And so as we begin to, we're in this season, I think we're talking about hunger, about staying hungry.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to give you some foundational things, because you know that God's always talking.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was talking this morning.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, I didn't hear a voice.
Yeah.
but yet you did. When we ask God, did you hear a word? And some of you are like, oh yeah, I did have a word.
Right.
Some of you may have had a picture or a color, but we're learning, oh wait, God, you gave me something. Here's what we're coming to terms with. We're coming to terms with expressing it. You know, because we're quick to go, come on, that's not God, that's not this. And we're learning, wait a second, I'm kind of like training. I'm in training to like acknowledge and recognize and just say, well, I feel this, I think this. He's the God of my imagination. I'm just going to put it out there, like declaring, I'm going to say it as it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
So here's what's happening. Our flesh, we have these things that make up us, you, right? We have our flesh. We have this thing called our soul. We have the thing the Bible talks about, our spirit, right? So in our flesh, we're learning something. We're learning we have a new identity,
mm-hmm.
right? All I've known is a bunch of lies that dictated to me that said, you're a stinky person. You don't, how could, God doesn't want you. God doesn't know you. God doesn't like you, whatever, right? But lies or untruths or bad theology about who I am,
mm-hmm.
right? So I have to learn a new identity. The second thing is I have this, I have a spirit inside of me, right? And Jesus tells me my spirit connects with his spirit. Do you know that, right? In fact, when he talks about I'm in him and he's in me, there's this joining of spirit, okay? And we have this thing called a soul, and so your soul is really, it's the storehouse of your experiences, right? So in our soul, that's where we're dealing with things like, I had a very painful childhood. I have had nothing bad, but torment in relationships. I've got bad history with girls or guys. I've been abused, or I've been rejected, or right in my, or my experience, I've got a bad church experience, or I've never seen God heal. And so,
mm-hmm.
right? So in our soul, it's like this emotional side of us. It's this our will, it's this emotional thing that our life story goes in there.
Right.
And yours is different than mine. Right? And it begins to try to talk to you, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I've got this new person, this new identity waking up. This is my flesh. I've got this spirit that's created to connect with his spirit. I've got this soul that's got all my life story all wrapped up into it. And here's this one thing that goes across all of them, my mind.
Mm.
And so my mind is learning to think differently, right? So when Paul talks about the renewing of the mind, he says, hey, you're waking up to this new person of who you are, right? You're learning how to react to the circumstances you've been through, right? The maybe it's a very depressing or hurtful or rejected kind of experience. So your mind has to teach you, how do I grow out of that, right? And then we're learning that he literally wants to connect with, I mean, when he says, I'm in you,
mm-hmm.
right? And we're like, how is that even possible? But yet Genesis tells us in the very beginning, you're made in his
image,
right? You're made in his image. There's his spirit was put inside of you.
Yeah.
Guess what guess what didn't know what to do with that? Your flesh,
mm-hmm.
your soul, right? And we began to let other things interpret for us. And so we didn't know what to do with this thing called spirit. So now what's happening is he comes and it begins to unveil. He's disclosing. And in moments, maybe it's in a worship time, maybe it's reading, or maybe it's a friend praying with you, or maybe it's just walking in the flowers up in the mountains somewhere. You have this encounter and all of a sudden your spirit begins to wake up and realize he's real,
mm-hmm.
right? Now we're infant. We're still, I don't know what real even means. I don't know what connection even means, but we wake up to this and we realize deep inside, your spirit was created to love.
Yeah.
He tells us he is nothing but love.
Right.
God is absolute pure love. That's all he is. So when his image is put in you,
right.
Guess what's in you? This desire for love, this capacity to love, this hunger for love, right? And so all of a sudden inside of us is this thing. I have this natural state for being hungry for him. I can't even explain it. It's like I come into a worship time like this, and it's like maybe you've never been there, but you're like, oh my gosh, I just wish it wouldn't stop.
Yeah.
I wish I could have more. And there's this thing inside of you, right? It says, okay, I want this. And then you have this natural thing of giving it away.
Mm,
oh,
right,
if you would just know this. And there's just nothing more natural about it. But here's what happens. That inner man is kind of like, it's got this wrapper around it.
Yeah.
And that wrapper is this... all my thoughts, all my emotions, all my experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what they're doing? It's disagreeing with that spirit
mm-hmm.
inside of you. It's telling you, oh, wait, what do you think you're doing connecting with him? Do you know what you did last night? Do you know what you did 10 years ago? Do you know, right? And it begins to challenge you and speak lies about you, your ability or your his acceptance of you that you couldn't possibly be connected, right? And so this is when I talk about us closing the gap and renewing our mind, right? We're reforming, we're repenting, which is the word. We're reforming our thoughts about what he says about us, right? Here's the fun thing. You know, if you want to know, am I experiencing being in him? You know, Galatians tells you, well, here's what in him looks like, right? Galatians 5 tells us, it talks about it as fruit. It says the fruit of that connected spirit, the fruit of your spirit being in his spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, right?
Mm-hmm.
And faithfulness. Thanks. I'm trying to count them off. Faithfulness. It's Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit. So God has one expression to you, love. He's waking up your spirit, connecting with your spirit. He's helping you, and his spirit's helping you retrain your mind to understand how to walk in this new identity, this new man. And we're really, here's what Paul says when he talks about walking in the spirit, when he talks about living this way, when he talks about being in this kingdom and not this false kingdom, right? He calls it walk in the spirit. Right? So every day I'm challenged. I wake up in the morning and I have a voice that's going to talk to me. Right? There's a voice that's going to talk to me about living in kingdom. And there's a voice that's going to challenge me about living according to my experience, my emotions today. His spirit is always, it's eternal, isn't it? He tells us this is like, right? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, forever. Hebrews 13:8. I might read it out of the Mirror Bible because I like how it says it. But he's always long-term. It's like, no, we're going to do this, right? You know that our emotions are always living for the moment.
Yeah.
They're always like, but you don't know what Adolf did to me,
mm-hmm.
right? It's where we're challenged in our anger. We're challenged in our love. We're challenged. Something about us is like, but you don't know.
Right.
What he did to me or what happened to me. You don't know my experience. I was, you know, I was poor for 30 years and living, right? And so we have to learn how to make a choice. How do we walk in God? We're learning how to walk in this identity of this new, man.
Mm-hmm.
And when God woke that up inside of you, I told you, it's what we call being born again. And just think of it like the blinders came off. The lights got turned on in a dark room. Somebody went to the windows and parted the curtains. And you went, oh my gosh, right? And what he did was he woke up your spirit and he says, oh, you need to know your spirit is aligned with mine. Your spirit's not down here and I'm up here. He says, you're up here.
Mm-hmm.
The language in scripture to describe what that action is called righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's not an earned thing. I don't perform holy activity or go and do certain deeds to be deemed righteous. I'm righteous because he says I'm righteous.
Right. Yeah.
It's because of Christ and only Christ that I'm righteous. Right. So he's elevated my spirit. Look what he says, right, in Psalms 8. He says, you've made him a little lower than the angels, and you've crowned him with glory and honor. Talking about you. Crowned him with glory and honor, and you've made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You've put all things under his feet. Right? So all of a sudden we're learning, if I want to walk in this authority, I want to like see these miracles he's talked to me about, I want to live in kingdom, release kingdom, experience kingdom reality around me, right? All of a sudden we're realizing, oh my gosh, it's like I'm learning I'm created in his image, and I'm starting to realize this is the nature he has, this is the nature that's in me. I'm learning to experience him as pure love, as a loving father, and I'll just use the term son, and you can say daughter for ladies, right? I'm learning how to relate to him as his kid, right? And it's from that place that I begin to experience living in him, being in him, right? So just, he tells us in 2 Corinthians, Paul's, so by the way, when Paul is writing to the early church, you know, it's a setting like this. For the most part, it's home churches. They all had the same revelation you've had, this waking up of their spirit, this reconnecting with God. They've been in religious tradition for a long time. They've seen it. If their background was Jewish, they've lived all of that. Or perhaps they were from another side. It was all about education and science, trying to tell them, here's how life works. Mm-hmm. So they're all waking up to, I've never experienced this before.
Right.
So when Paul is talking to them, he knows, here's how you've been living your life every day. That my emotions are gonna make my decisions for me. My soul, my intellect and my soul are going to drive this decision.
Right.
So Paul's talking and he tells them this. He says, look, now the Lord is the Spirit.
Where is this?
This is in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17. He says, the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's
freedom,
liberty, right? So all of a sudden, those challenges, those things that said, that's what's going to control you, your anger is going to dictate to you, your experience is going to be the driving force of this decision here. He says, when he says there's liberty, he says, no. He says, those things aren't going to dictate to you. You're not a slave to your circumstance.
Right.
You're not a slave to your past. Right. So he's cutting the cord and says, we're in their spirit here. Right. There's liberty. Right. And he says, oh, this is it. Second thing's true. I had written it down thinking that's why it's fresh in my head. Verse 17 says, but we all with unveiled face beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. And we're being transformed into that same image from glory to glory. Do you see the gap? He says, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Do you see the gap closing?
Mm-hmm.
He says, you're here. You're waking up to this new identity. And by his Spirit, you're going to learn how to walk in this kingdom reality.
Right?
That's what he's talking about. So the extent to which I'm willing to humble myself, to submit to that kingdom story, that kingdom dynamic, that kingdom truth, right? That my spirit's created in his image. I come to terms with it. It's the extent that this power is going to be released from me. This healing channel, this signs and wonders, this authority to go do great things, right? You want to walk in kingdom and see what God says, go do these things. It's when we accept who we are, who he is, and what it looks like for us to live in him, right? So we're learning how to walk in the Spirit, right? And not be dictated to by our soul, right? So just a couple things. So, because I want to, I said last week, we're all on this somewhere. You might be a baby Christian. Maybe you've never heard about God before, right? So you've never, ever, ever heard this truth. And today's the first time you heard it. Or maybe you've known this for 30 years or 50 years, right? It doesn't matter. We're all on this journey, whether you're at step one or step 100, right? We're all on this journey of growing into this reality, right? And every morning, we're learning how to mature and walking in this. Mm-hmm. And some days are easier than others. By the way, one of the reasons that, you know why he says fellowship,
right,
and connect with each other, it's not so you can come to church and have somebody stand up in front of you and say, well, this guy up here knows it all and I don't, so I need to come and learn. You know, any given day, you're healing the dead and
right,
this person over here is struggling and vice versa.
Right.
And so the reason we gather together, right, is to remind each other who you are.
Yeah.
And to encourage each other in who you are. And to remind each other about his love. And to encourage each other in his love. And when they're hurting, you're praying for their hurting. And when you're hurting, they're praying for your hurting, right? There's this, it's family, and you're learning to connect as family and love as family, right? And it's not about, well, they go to that church and he goes to this church. It's not about he's been baptized and he hasn't. It's
right,
not about he said the salvation prayer and he hasn't, right? We're all waking up to this revelation of God's love, right? And so I just would encourage you on that part right there. So I want to walk this way, right? I want to walk this way. I want to live this way. I want to walk in kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Paul calls it walking in the Spirit, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's the same language. That's what he's talking about, right? So just a couple of things on walking in the Spirit. And it's like, how do you every morning wake up and say, okay, here we go. I'm ready. It's a dead are gonna rise day, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The first off, I would tell you, we need to wake up every morning and agree with what God is saying about you.
Mm-hmm.
I told you when we close worship, you're amazing. God loves you the most. God's crazy excited about you. And so sometimes you have to look in the mirror in the morning and just go, yeah, talk to yourself. God loves me the most. God's so proud of me, right? God's excited about what I'm going to do today. God's given me so much love this morning. It's leaking out of my hands, right? It's almost dripping out of my ears. It's just like so much. He loves me so much, right? What are we doing? We're like, your soul's going to come and say, right? But we're going to stand and say, wait a second. I know what's in me, the Spirit that's in me. I know what image is inside of me.
Right.
I know who I was created to be,
right?
Right? So we make this declaration. Here's who I am. Here's who I am. God, we just begin to declare this is God's love for me. And I also recognize he just wants intimacy with me. Every fiber of his being wants to be intimate with every fiber of my being.
Right.
Right? So you were created for intimacy with God. And so this morning, as you get up and you're looking at the mirror, it's like, wow, God, I'm going to drive to work today and you're going to come and overwhelm me. I'll probably have trouble driving to work today, God, because you visited me in the car this morning. I don't know how I'm going to get my job done at work because you love me so much, right? His unconditional love for you has nothing to do with your behavior.
Amen.
His love for you has nothing to do with your behavior.
Thank you, Jesus.
Okay. This is not a relationship where if you perform, he loves you more.
Right, right, right.
And if you don't, then he withholds.
My church is that.
He has unconditional love for you. His love for you is based on his character, not yours. And his character is perfect love. His nature is perfect grace. Yeah. That's first one. So you just see yourself in the morning going,
right.
Position yourself for an encounter for
right,
that day.
Right,
position
right.
yourself for that, for being loved that day. Position yourself for more. Okay. The second thing is sometimes you just got to tell that outer man, that little wrapper that's sitting around you where your soul lives, to shut up. I'm serious. As in his training process, in this renewed mind, in this retraining moment, season, we're all in. Outside rapper is going to tell you, I just don't feel close to him today. God's not with me today. I haven't heard from God in weeks. This is just such a dry season. It's nothing. God's not even, you know.
Right,
and sometimes
right.
we just need to tell that voice, you need to shut up. Because
mm-hmm.
it's not true. And I would encourage you, tell your spouse, tell a friend, tell somebody here, I'm struggling in this. And let them, because sometimes it's hard to remind ourselves about that other voice. Let them help. That's not true. She would do that. I would tell Darla, God doesn't talk. She'd ask me, what's God saying to you? And I would say, God might be talking to you. He's not talking to me. And she would get irritated, I think. And I'd go, look, I'm glad he's talking to you. I'm glad that works for you, you know? And I was a believer. I was going to church. I was doing all the things. I'm reading my Bible, but my story was this. God doesn't always, it's not true. He's always talking. We're not always listening,
mm-hmm.
right? So sometimes you need to tell the outer man to shut up.
Right.
Because what is he doing? The outer man's, he's in a tug of war. Paul talks about this in Romans a lot. And a lot of his early letters to the church, he tells us about the old man.
Mm-hmm.
The old man's dead. Don't keep picking up the old man, right? And so Paul's telling them, look, that old man, right, isn't your story. That old man doesn't have any truth. He's not speaking into this new reality, right? So God says the old man's dead and you've been raised into this new life. Right? So we remind ourselves about what resurrection life looks like. You have been resurrected. The old man's dead, and Paul tells us. Right? Speak this truth. And so, and then finally, I would tell you, daily connect with Father in his embrace. Enjoy his love. Let him love you. If he's always, and you all agree with me, he's always loving.
Mm-hmm.
He's always giving his love. And I'll tell you sometimes, I've used this statement about, you know, really, if God's always loving and he's always releasing, it's like a papa on the steps in front of the house with his arms like this, right? Welcoming you into a hug. It's up to you to step into the hug. Okay? And that's different for each one of us, what that looks like. But it's an intentional act.
Yeah.
About stepping into the hug with Father. And so I would encourage you to daily, like, enjoy his embrace. Enjoy, create moments. And maybe it's just, I just need 5 minutes before I leave the house this morning. And maybe it's just, I put a worship song on and I'm just going to sit here and rest for a minute and just enjoy him. I'm not telling you to be religious about it. I'm not telling you go get your Bible and read 10 verses and make sure you don't leave the house until you read 10 verses. I'm just telling you to stop, ponder him, consider him, enjoy him. You don't have to pray. You don't have to, I got to pray, da-da-da-da-da. Maybe it's just a cup of coffee in your hand and you're closing your eyes and you're just like, thanks. Thanks. Just enjoying him. Thank you for loving me today. Thank you. And just create moments where that happens.
It's also doing in his presence.
Right. Right.
He, he's created us to love. You were created to love. So he's not ever going to deny you that. Right. But it's pausing for a moment, being quiet for a moment, and just a thought about the significance of that. Because what are we doing? We're saying, this is who I am, and I know he loves me. I'm agreeing with his love for me. Mm-hmm. I'm acknowledging myself as a son or a daughter before him, right? This is Father, and here's who I am, right? Because that, by the way, it's the absolute, what's the word, linchpin? If that thing gets knocked over, the whole tower falls, okay? Here's the proof of that. Do you know that when Jesus started his ministry, you all know about after his baptism, he goes out into the wilderness, right? Who confronts him in the wilderness?
Satan
does, right? The thing he was confronted in, and go look at it in scripture, right. The thing he was confronted in is his identity. Because what Satan challenged him in is each one. He said, if you're the Son of God, if you're the Son, and so, but it's like, Jesus knows who's he. I told you, how did Jesus do these things? He knew who he was. He knew who he was before the Father. That's the reality he lived in. Mm-hmm. And he was authorized to release kingdom. Okay? So Satan is going to challenge you when you say, God, thank you for loving me. And Satan's going to go, not so fast. Right? So Satan's game plan is to attack your identity. Always, always, always. If he can get you there, then it all stops. So he will always challenge your relationship before the Father.
Yes.
Think about it. So it all starts with your mourning of, he loves me. I'm connected to him. I'm his son, right? And we enjoy that. We enjoy the embrace. We enjoy the, right? Because that's where Satan's going to come and attack you, right? He's going to intimidate you on, you think so? Right? So then, by the way, as you begin to accept that and you walk in that, remember, walk in the Spirit, what's going to be released from that connection of Spirit to Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, right? Galatians 5:22, fruit is released. So what's Satan going to do? He's going to see the fruit, isn't he? Mm-hmm. He's going to see your contentment in him, your peace in him, your joy in him, mm-hmm. right? So then he's going to go, okay, I can't get him on that. So how about I get him on a religious spirit? Right? So he's going to go, well, you know, if you had spent more time praying, Danny, if you, you know, this is the season of fasting. If you had fasted, you didn't fast this week. You know, you didn't really read the word. Oh, you know what? You know, you did sin a lot. So he's going to try to challenge. It's all going back to identity, but he's going to try to challenge you based on performance grounds that you shouldn't be so quick to think you're a son.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So he's going to go back and say, okay, spirit to spirit, but now I'm going to go after this performance thing around you. Right? And we're good at, we do that a lot at church, by the way. Our church experience tends to be go perform to be accepted, go perform to be to get more, go prove. It's a default. I wish it wasn't, but it's like a religious spirit says, if you want to be accepted, if you want to have that connection, if you
right.
want to grow into more,
mm-hmm.
right, then we have to do some things.
You
gotta
follow
right?
the checklist, man.
And so I would tell you this, and Paul addresses it when he's talking to this early church, because that's he knows you're going to get challenged here. Because all your religious upbringing says, this is the law, this is the observance of the law, this is da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, right? And Paul says, look, 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, it's because of him that you're in Christ Jesus.
Mm.
That's it. There's no comma, there's no list. It says, it's because of
right.
him. That's it. It's because of him. that you are in him.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, wow, right? We can't earn the position. We can't work for it, right?
What was your third thing?
I said dwell in his embrace. Okay. So the first thing I told you was agree with what he says about you. Sometimes you got to tell that outer man to shut up.
Right.
And then third, enjoy just resting in him. Enjoy being in him and be intentional about it, right? By the way, these are just, I'm just trying to share as we get into this thing of hunger and we're asking him for encounters, we're asking him for more. And regardless of where you're at on the spectrum, baby Christian, I've never heard about kingdom before, to I want to see the dead rise right now, right? This is my daily expression. Wherever you're at, this is my wake up and enjoy the morning, kingdom morning. This is, I need to be about this every single day because Satan will always go after your identity. If he gets you there, then it's game over, right? It's so, the enemy is always going to use fear. He's going to use shame. He's going to use guilt. He's going to use all sorts of things to get you hooked into a performance mindset. He's going to give all things to disqualify you from being family, from what God's declaration of family over you. Paul says this in Romans 8. He says, you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear.
Right.
But you received the spirit of adoption,
yes,
by whom we cry out,
Abba,
Father.
So good.
Right? It's like, you just said, look, the enemy's going to try to put shackles on you because of your performance. And God's released this spirit on you that says, son, you're just going to know me as Papa, as Daddy, right? He says, and the Spirit himself is going to bear witness with our spirit. Right? Our spirits are connected.
Mm-hmm.
That, and his spirit is going to bear witness to our spirit that you're his child. That we are his children of God. And if we're his children, scripture says, then we're heirs. We're heirs of God, and we're joint heirs with Christ.
Right.
Which means now when I want to walk in kingdom,
right,
and I talk about releasing the full resources of the kingdom into praying for Ruth,
right,
or praying for whatever, all of a sudden I realize, right, I have everything I need. I told you, Jesus did these things because what? One, he knew who he was as a son.
Right.
He knew what being in the Father, in him, was like. This was his reality, right? And the Father released him, authorized him to release that on the earth. And when Jesus went back to heaven, the assignment he gave you, we read it in John last week. Oh, that my kids, my children would know me this way.
Mm-hmm.
The same way Jesus knew him, you would know him. You would wake up to that reality, and he says, now go do these great things. Do greater things than I did.
Yeah.
Right? So I think I'll stop there, and we'll build on that next week. But look, the issue of identity is the basis for all of the enemy's lies against you, all his accusations, right? Everything we're doing it from our relationship in him. It's all God's, it's all his doing, not ours. We're just, all we're doing is agreeing, right? What is repentance? I'm just reforming my mind. I'm retraining my mind to agree with God's thoughts. This is what God says about me. This is what God says. Repentance is agreeing with God's thoughts, not the lies about who I am. That's all repentance is, right? So repentance is thinking like God.
There you go.
Okay? So here, I'll give you another church word. So in confession, by the way, so if repentance is thinking God's thoughts, confession is declaring God,
right,
as God's
right,
declaring.
Right.
Okay? That's why I tell you when we get before the mirror in the morning, This is who I am. This is, right? I'm agreeing that this is what he says about me, repentance, and I'm confessing this is what you say. So confession is just saying what God says.
Mm.
Do you see that in that process, in no time, are you tearing yourself down?
No.
If you're having to tear yourself down in what you call confession and just say, I'm bad, and God, forgive my bad. God's, you know what God goes? He goes, I'm not sure. It's like, what? I think you're amazing. What God's getting excited about is not that you're not having a revelation of something was wrong in your choosing.
Right.
Holy Spirit is going to drop it called conviction. Holy Spirit's going to drop that in your heart and say, oh, wow, this isn't God's thought.
Right.
God's not doing this or saying this. Repentance is, wow, God, that's not you. This is you. Mm-hmm. So repentance is, I'm going to agree with, this is you. Mm-hmm. And my confession is, now I'm going to just say that. Angie?
The reason that the Lord loves when we come into agreement with what he thinks and feels about us is because then we can receive it.
Yeah, that's really good.
Like how I feel when my son comes over and I think he's saying, I'm just a piece of, I'm just terrible, I'm just a dumbass. And he's saying it and you're just trying to break through and you're like, no, that is not.
Mm-hmm.
Because he can't receive my love when he's in that, you know, I'm nothing.
So, moms and dads, all right? I'll use your kid, or kids. Moms and dads know this, you know? So, when your kid comes home and he's in second grade and he didn't do well on a test and he tells you, I'm the stupidest guy in my class. I am so stupid. I couldn't even, I am worthless. I can't believe, right? And every mom and dad goes, you're right. You are worthless.
What?
No.
Oh, we don't?
We don't.
What mom and dad would say that? What mom and dad goes is, what? You're the most amazing. You are so smart. You're brilliant. And
awesome.
And they be,
yeah.
Mom and dad begin to say, I don't know what voice you're listening to, but this is who you are.
Right.
That's right.
Yep. It's another voice that's telling me I'm stupid. I'm worthless. Right. So when we beat ourselves up. Moms and dads go, what? That's how God is when you repent that way.
Right.
When you go, I'm so horrible. And God goes, what? That's not who you are.
Yeah.
That's not who you are.
That's good.
That's what, anyway, so let's, I'll stop it there. I'll stop it. All right. Because I just love
what
he does.
One other little thought.
Go ahead.
This is as a man thinks, so is he.
Right.
So the more you think about him, think about who you are, think about who he is, and if you go throughout the day thinking that way, you become that.
So here, let's just ask this morning. Let's just close our time. We just say, Holy Spirit, you're teaching us how to think like heaven. So we pray for the reforming of our mind, for the renewing of our minds this week. We say yes to reforming. We say yes to you moving us, God, changing us, to molding us and building us as your kids. So we just say thank you to your love, and we welcome our week ahead of us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.